Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Good morning, Los Angeles, and welcome to another edition of the Weekend Warrior Show. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Clapper. I'm an orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai, 31 years. And it's so great to be with you this morning. Take away a little bit of the thoughts for 2 hours of what's going on in the world. Make a smile come to your face. Today, the great Rebecca Womble is filling in for Steve Paulette. Put together the sound bites, and she's amazing. Today is going to be about happiness. We're going to talk about surfing. We're going to talk about happiness. But we're really going to talk, because my guest at 7:15, you're really going to enjoy, Heather Alley, is a surf instructor here in Los Angeles. But here's the best part. She's originally from Hawaii. And she brought that spirit of aloha to Los Angeles and teaches surfing in the South Bay in multiple locations. But learning a little bit about her, I realized she's from Hawaii, which is, to me, fantastic, because it means her veins and arteries don't just carry blood. They carry the ocean water. That's what it means to me when you're from Hawaii. And having such pride in where you're from and how it shapes who you are as a person, it made me think all week about where in sports, where in art, and where in surgery do we see that pride in where you're from shape who you are and what you become in life. In art, one of the greatest women singer-songwriters of all time is Joni Mitchell. She's in her late 70s now. Thank God she's still alive. She lives in L.A. She even could be listening, which would be amazing. But she's from Canada. And in every song she wrote and every song she sings, if you listen carefully, you can feel it. You can hear it. Sometimes she blatantly just says, I'm from Canada. She grew up in an area called Saskatchewan, the plains of Canada, with the wind and the wide open space. And it was just a special place to grow up. And she brings that to her songs, which you're going to hear from Joni Mitchell. And you're going to hear her songs on today's show. What about in sports? Well, my favorite woman surfer of all time is from a place on Oahu called Makaha. It's one of the nastiest, most difficult, angriest waves you could ever ride. But this woman, she was called the Queen of Makaha because those big tough guys couldn't help but respect the style, the grace that this woman had when she rode waves. She died way too young at age 47 of breast cancer. But during the short time she was on this planet, she changed the world forever. And she brought that pride in where she's from, being from Makaha, to everything that she did. And you'll hear pro surfer Kalani Robb talk about Rel Sun, the greatest woman surfer, in my opinion, of all time, from Hawaii. What about in surgery? Where do you see pride in who you are? Well, yours truly is not only from New York, I'm from Far Rockaway. Rebecca, get ready to play Kobe Bryant making fun of a New York accent when you hear him say Dr. Clapper. Go ahead and play the soundbite.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
That's right. Mahalo. Aloha.
Start your weekend off right. Listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
Ahui hoi.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN. 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
And when you hear Kobe making fun of me, you can recognize the pride that I have in where I'm from. But what about Kobe? What about Kobe's pride in where he's from? Well, he grew up in Italy, and listening to him speak in Italian, He just loved to speak in Italian because that's where he's from.
La passione. La passione per la vita, la passione per giocare a pallacanestro e fare la cosa che ami con tutto il cuore. Sempre la passione in Italia, la passione con la famiglia, sai, con i figli, con tutte le cose che è importante per te, per avere nella tua vita, è rimasta sempre con me, sempre con Italia, era sempre un posto nel mio cuore.
Oh, it's fantastic. And in searching for the Kobe, pride in where you're from, you talk about pride in this show, and you and me being together every Saturday morning, this is me interviewing Hall of Famer Marcus Allen. I just, the pride came out of me when I met him on the red carpet at one of these events. And Marcus Allen stopped. Hi, Dr. Clapper. And you listen to the 15 seconds I had with him talking about the Weekend Warrior show.
I listen to you on the radio. Oh, that or not, absolutely, yeah.
Thank you. Have you learned anything from Clapper Vision?
Well, you know, when you talk about art, you talk about music, you run the gamut. I listen, man. You'd be surprised who's listening, man.
Marcus, I appreciate
that. Marcus Allen. Can you imagine a Weekend Warrior fan? Talk about pride and where you're from. That's what today's show is going to be about, being proud. Wherever it is that you're from, particularly from Los Angeles. Wait till I tell you about, because I can't talk about restaurants today. I invented a Dr. Clapper to make it home, because I did it after surfing last Sunday. I took nachos, the pride and joy of Los Angeles. I love nachos more than anything else because I didn't grow up with them. Now I've adopted them. So I did a Clapper version of nachos. Guess what they're called? Clachos. I want you all to go home. Well, you are home. I want you all to make what now will be known as Clachos. Clapper nachos. Okay, let me tell you how to do this. It involves taking stale, because I didn't have any fresh one, nacho chips, laying them on some tinfoil so that they all touch each other. Then I took a big loaf of Tillamook, the best cheese, Monterey Jack cheese with jalapenos in it, sliced it up, put it on top of those stale nachos. I put them in the toaster oven. But what I did next, you're going to have to wait to listen. The Clapper version of nachos. The greatest thing you could do with chips and cheese. Oh, God, was this good. I ate it after surfing last Sunday. It was so good. I'll give you a clue. It involves an egg yolk and salsa. Oh, my God. Clachos. Clapper nachos. All right, let's get into the topic for today's show. I want you to hear Joni Mitchell. It's called A Case of You. Listen to her talk about Canada.
On the back of a cartoon coaster. In the blue TV screen light, I drew a map of Canada. Oh, Canada. With your face sketched on it twice.
The voice is from God. What was it like to know Joni Mitchell living on Laurel Canyon? This is David Crosby from Crosby's Stills, Nash & Young, talking about meeting Joni Mitchell for the first time.
Overwhelming. No voices can blame. I'm a singer-songwriter. You walk in and somebody's doing it at that level, it's going to blow your mind.
Yep.
And she did. I walked in and she was singing, you know, Both Sides Now or Michael from Mountains or something like that, and just slayed me completely. Brought her back to Los Angeles, and I'd gather a bunch of people in a room and we would all adjust ourselves and get ourselves ready, and then she would sit down and sing. That's all it takes.
Here's Leslie Morris, the manager of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. She knows music. Listen to her talk about Joni Mitchell from Canada.
Joni Mitchell is the best songwriter ever born, as far as I'm concerned. She's, you know, she's prolific. She outdoes them all. I think that's the a little, probably the trouble that they have with each other. You know, she's, I think they're all in awe of her. I think they all respect her songwriting and her abilities. And she's very complex and very intimidating.
She's intimidating. Here she's being interviewed, 1965. We're going way back. For the first time, she's starting out, and they're interviewing her in Canada. Listen to the Canadian accents of the interviewers.
Your songs have an interesting quality about them. They're very, for want of a better word, I think one just has to say poetic.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have a kind of eternity about them. They're not just about love and loss and the things that we normally associate with this kind of singing.
Well, I'm very Canadian. You know that I live in the States now.
Did you know
that? No, you don't.
Well, I'm an American and I'm living in Detroit. And I find that I've become more Canadian since I've moved to the States. I think maybe you do that.
Canada. She's so proud of where she's from.
And the songs that I've been writing within the last year have had more and more of a prairie flavor. If not throughout the song, at least I set the song in Canada. For instance, I've written a song about a carnival in Kenora and things like that, and I'm always looking for Canadian ideas, you know, Canadian places instead of Carnival in Detroit, which sounds like a drag anyway. You see all these cars going around in circles or something.
Such an inspiration for her in art, where she's from. In sports, it'll be Rel's son, you're going to hear that. And for me, in surgery, whether they fly in from Saudi Arabia, from all over the world to come see me, they hear me say, forget about it, get out of here. I'm Dr. Clapper. They know I'm from New York, but I live in L.A. That's why I invented Clachos, which I'm going to explain. Here's more from Joni Mitchell, 1965.
Well, Joni, who are you singing all these songs to? The sort of coffee house group, do they already know the message, or is there a message that you're trying to give them or anybody?
The general message of my songs, I guess, is just happiness. Most of them have happy endings. And
love it.
I don't write protesty things. If they protest at all, it's very subtle, and they're sort of, the message comes out like, don't do this, or try not to be that way, but it's still through happiness, so that it doesn't stand up there and sort of preach at people.
Can you imagine this beautiful woman, with the most creative in writing the song, in singing the song, and the songs are about happiness, and yet there are people, Meshuggahs, who still don't get it, right? Listen to her talk about what she has to put up with, because guess what? We all have to put up with it. Life is all about good and bad. This coronavirus, as my father Abraham Clapper would tell you right now, this too shall pass.
What do you mean by happiness, Joni?
Well, as a matter of fact, while I was here, while I was in Toronto the last time, I got a bad review, and what the review amounted to, I think, was that I was too happy, and he criticized it for lack of depth. It was sort of like everything was happy, you know. He said, I wasn't saccharine, but I was a little hearts and flowery. That's what he said. Mind you, I should say now, too, that I had two excellent reviews. Plus this one that wasn't so good.
You don't have to prove yourself to anybody, Joni Mitchell. You're Joni Mitchell!
So he criticized me for being happy, and that's what I think my songs are. I can't explain it any more than that. They're just, even the sad songs aren't depressing. They're just sort of wistful.
Have you always been happy?
I try to be. No, nobody's happy all the time.
That's right.
Have you always wanted to be a happy singer and writer of songs?
Well, I started out in folk music, of course, doing traditional ballads, which were these long English things about Lady So-and-so's husband killed her while her lover was standing at the foot of the bed and things, and House of the Rising Sun, about a girl who's been led astray, and I think maybe that's why my songs are all happy, because in the beginning they were all so dreary. They were beautiful, but they were, you know, they were just very miserable songs.
Hmm. What about in sports? The happiness, the joy, the sharing, where you're from, the pride in where you're from. Well, in surfing, her name was Rel's son. They called her the Queen of Makaha. Here's a little boy, Kalani Robb, who's now a grown man, talking about the Queen of Makaha, Rel's son.
I looked up to a lot of surfers for a lot of different reasons, of course, but I think the one that stood out the most for me was Auntie Rel, Rel's son. To have her going out, like, I was very young, but seeing her go on a rip, you're like, oh my God, like, That's insane. You know, she surfs as good as the guys do, like all the good guys, you know? Style is everything, I think, in surfing, because at the end of the day, whatever maneuver you do or barrel or whatever it may be, if it doesn't look stylish, it's kind of not very cool, you know? But Angerell was super good. Like, that's my biggest thing. I think everybody that I look up to has always had, like, really clean style.
He's talking about Angerell, Rell's son, the Queen of Makaha.
I knew Angerell pretty well. I mean, every time I would go to Makaha, I would see her as a kid surfing the contest. I mean, there's hundreds of kids there, and I definitely felt special because she would always come up and always be so cool to me and always, like, take the time to talk to me, like, a real conversation. And what was so crazy is, as special as I felt, I literally could look around, and after she talked to me, she talked to another kid and be just as special to him.
That was special about her.
I hope that when the kids run into me, or even adults, that I'm doing the best thing I could do because Angerell and the people who I've been, you know, influenced by have done good with me. I want to be like Angerell. Like, that was my deal. You know what I mean? Like, there's all these different types of flavors, and my flavor was, I wanted to be that. You know, I want to influence the kids. I want people to know that, listen, that don't forget. It happened so fast that you weren't that big time dude, and then when you are, then you forget. Don't forget, because that's not cool.
Look at how she inspired teaching surfing. Many of these young boys and girls became pro surfers, but it doesn't matter. They just adopted surfing in their lives and carry on in her tradition now that she died too young at age 47. But Kalani Robb talking about how Rell's son inspired him, the Queen of Makaha.
Growing up, Angerell's contest was like one of the biggest deals. You know, we would have our HSF contest, which were the ones that we get points to do the nationals and the U.S. championships and stuff like that. Angerell's was super special because her contest had prizes. It was Angerell. She's up there like doing funny stuff. There was like bodyboarding. There was all these different divisions we could do that literally you can see that it's inspired guys like Shane Dorian. He does his at Kona. Ian Walsh does his at Hokipa in Maui. And then the Irons Brothers does it at Pine Trees in Kauai. Now, these pro surfers are spreading the stoke, helping out kids in their community. You know, like making names for ourselves is one thing, but use it for a great thing.
He learned that from the great Rell's son. We learn it from Joni Mitchell from Canada. We learn it from Dr. Clappa from Far Rockaway, New York. And coming up next, we're going to learn it from the great Heather Alley. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on ESPN LA 710.
Check this out. Weekend Warrior is on the air.
From the epicenter of sports in the Southland.
ESPN LA 710. With Dr. Robert Clapper, board-certified orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai Health Associates.
Stir in the blue TV screen light. I drew a map of Canada.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Great Joni Mitchell singing about Canada, because that's where she's from. Pride in where she's from. Joining me now is someone who's very prideful of where she's from. The great Heather Alley. Heather, thanks so much for getting up early to be with us.
Ah, thanks, Doc. You know, I'm up. And I have a two-month-old.
So. Oh, you're up already. Wow.
I'm on patrol.
Oh. I want to talk about what you do here in Los Angeles, but first I need everyone to know who you are and where you came from, what your dad did for a living, and your history. I discovered you by going shopping at the best butcher shop in Los Angeles in Manhattan Beach, and there was a brochure for surfing lessons. And that's how I got to know you, from seeing that brochure. So teach us, who are you and where are you from?
I'm Heather, and I teach surfing full-time, and I teach private and small group lessons and down the California coast, and also trips to Hawaii and Costa Rica and beyond. And I grew up on the Big Island of Hawaii, which is super special. I think, have you been there?
I go four times a year for long before you were born.
Hey, man, you're not that much older than I am.
I am a lot older than you. You know, I went to Hawaii for the very first time in 1983. I did a fourth year rotation at Queens Hospital. in cardiology of all things, even though I'm an orthopedic surgeon. But as soon as I stepped onto the lava rock, I realized this is like home for me. I don't know why. I'm a Jewish guy from New York. What the hell am I feeling this way for? But I could feel the spirit of Aloha come up through my feet, go up my ankle, into my knee, into my hip, into my heart. And I've been stuck with it ever since. And there's something about it that I think, particularly in a crisis time like now, we all need to learn what the spirit of Aloha is. We all need to learn about Dukkha Hanamoku and the blessings of what the ocean in Hawaii brings to us. And that's the big reason why, Heather, you're my guest today, because we need you more than ever.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I mean, who would have thought that we would be where we are today when we spoke 2 weeks ago?
Yep. You know what I mean? Yep, no idea.
It's unreal. And yeah, I mean, I'm just hanging on to nature and surfing and, you know, like I always have, you know, to just kind of help, you know, help me get through it, which I think a lot of people are, you know. And yeah, I mean, that's just what Hawaii is, really. It's just, you know, it's big nature. It's big, it's very spiritual. The people are very humble and very kind and generous. And, you know, I think that's what Aloha is. You know, you look out for each other and, you know, you appreciate each other and you appreciate nature. And, I mean, that's really what it's all about, I think.
I want you to listen to Kalani Robb talking about Rel's son, the Queen of Makaha. And I want to hear what you think about, not so much Kalani Robb, but certainly what her influence was on him and thousands of other young Hawaiian kids, but people in general. She's been a big influence on me, and I'm not from Hawaii, but I want to hear what you think when you hear these words from Kalani Robb.
I looked up to a lot of surfers for a lot of different reasons, of course, but I think the one that stood out the most for me was Auntie Rel, Rel's son. To have her going out, like, I was very young, but seeing her go on rip, you're like, oh my god, like, that's insane. You know, she surfs as good as the guys do, like all the good guys, you know. Style is everything, I think, in surfing, because at the end of the day, whatever maneuver you do or barrel or whatever it may be, if it doesn't look stylish, it's kind of not very cool, you know. But Auntie Rel was super good. Like, that's my biggest thing. I think everybody that I look up to has always had, like, really clean style.
He's looking up to someone who'd help teach him how to surf. That's who you are. What does Rel's son mean to you?
Oh, man, I mean, she's like the godmother of surfing, you know, and the Aloha spirit for sure. And I think she was the first woman lifeguard in Hawaii as well, professionally. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she's a legend, and so is Kalani, I think, too. You know, I mean, I remember watching him surfing, you know, when I was growing up and being like, wow, I want to do that, you know. But, yeah.
What's it like, Heather, to teach a total stranger to surf? And that moment where they stand up for the very first time, it's priceless, right? It goes right to your heart that you've given someone who's never done it before the gift.
It's joy. I think, you know, in your message to me when you called me a couple weeks ago, you said just for the joy of it. And I think that's exactly what it is. When you ride that wave, it's pure joy. When you see somebody else ride that wave, it's pure joy. And especially for the first time, you know, and it's like, and you know, they just want to take it with them. And I think that, you know, the more joy, you know, the more better.
I want you to take us on a trip that you may have had as a kid growing up on the Big Island. Just take us with you in our mind's eye where you did something slightly mischievous, where you went to the lava flows, where you experienced something that we would all love to be thinking about what that must have been like as a kid. Something you did in the bushes of Hawaii growing up as a native Hawaiian.
Oh, my God. Well, let me just try to choose one story. That's what it really, I mean, you know, growing up on an island, there's nothing to do, you know. You're just outside running around, and, you know, you hope you love the ocean, which thank God I did, because, you know, you just want to be outside running around all day barefoot, you know. But I think a big one, which I got in big trouble for, was when I was 16. I think we were on Christmas break, and my mom let me use the car and go to Kona and go surf. You know, there was a good swell running, and it was so good. And I was just like, hey, you know, can I just stay, you know, a couple days and surf or go back? And, you know, she said, no, you have to come home and do your chores. And so I drove all the way home, which was an hour and a half, you know, down by South Point. And I did my chores, and I'm like, okay, can I go back? And she's like, no, why do you want to surf again? You just surfed. And so when she wasn't around, I actually took the car and went to Kona and stayed there. And then a cop ended up coming to my friend's house and saying, you know, your mom, you have to go home. So I was grounded for like 9 months. It was worth it. It was totally worth it. You know, I wouldn't change it, even though, you know, it was a huge consequence.
So tell us about your business, your company, so that I can steer listeners to what you're doing. How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so my website is Soul Surf Sessions, which is S-O-U-L .com. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they can call me, text me, email me, you know, anything, really. And we can talk about surfing. And, mm-hmm. you know, if they want, they can come surfing. And I think the main thing is surfing is for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's anybody can surf. If you have that desire to experience that joy and hopefully take it with you and keep surfing, anybody can do it. Mm. So I think that's the main thing. And like I said, I think the more of us that have, you know, the more joy there is, the better off we all are. And then it's just that net positive when you're feeling that you feel warm and you feel friendly and you feel caring and you want to share it, you know, with other people. So
what did your dad do for a living?
He used to be a cowboy at the dairy.
Wow.
But yeah. And
a cowboy.
Yeah. Yeah. Growing up, we had a couple horses and a pig and a goat.
Wow.
Cow, a few dogs. It was like,
do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have a younger sister.
Does she surf?
She's dabbled a little bit, but she's not obsessed like I am, like a lot of us are.
Where did your obsession come from? When was you remember the very first wave you caught?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, we were at a super special place called Ka'aluwalu down mm-hmm. on the southern part of the Big Island, and I finally got a board. Somebody gave me a board. I always wanted to surf, and I didn't actually start surfing until I was 15.
Wow.
And I caught a wave, and I stood up for like half a second, and I was like, that's it. That's the best thing ever. And I'm going to keep doing that. It's been that ever since, basically.
Isn't it cool when you're doing something, whether you pick up the piano, a guitar, whether you pick up writing, whatever it is, and you feel that arrow that Cupid just shot go right through your chest, and you say to yourself, this is it. This is what I was destined to do, and whatever else I got to do with my life, it's so that I can do this. And I had that moment in 1983 when I stood on the very first wave in Hawaii, and I said, that's it. I now have to do this. An amazing, and you never forget. Look at all the thousands of waves you've ridden since then, but you'll never forget that first one.
No, and you actually remember a lot of waves. I mean, I remember good waves from, you know, 20 years ago. I mean, it's like, oh, my God, remember that one time? It was just, we were the only ones out. And it just got so good, you know?
So I always ask this question whenever I have someone who surfs on as a guest. And I've had Jerry Lopez and Sam George and Greg Knoll. I've had Sean Thompson. I've had a lot of surfers as guests on the show over the 9 years. So I want to ask you one question. Tell us about that moment where you were held down and you thought, that's it, you're not going to be able to come up. Did you have a near-death experience?
Yeah, I've had several.
Tell me about it.
Well, you know what's funny is, you know, on your show you have a clip of from Joni Mitchell, and mm-hmm. I remember one time at this great spot, Kahalu, I got, you know, I didn't really know what happened until after, but yeah, I take off on this wave, and it can be a really heavy, barreling wave. And next thing I know, I'm just hearing Joni Mitchell put up a parking lot in my head, and I'm like, oh, this is amazing. And I finally, like, I realized I got, like, hit in the head, and I came up, and there was another couple waves coming in. And, you know, in Hawaii, the surf can pick up super fast.
Yep.
Like, you know, if there's a big swell coming in, there's no continental shelf, and you know, it's getting bigger. And then you're like, oh, my God, there's another reef a little further out that you didn't realize was there until it got this big. So there was another couple sets, you know, set waves coming in. And I just remember being like, you know, you fight it and then eventually you just let go. And you're just like, you just kind of surrender. And, you know, when you're calm, your air actually lasts longer. So I think it's, you know, I don't know if you've ever gone bungee jumping or skydiving, but it's kind of like when you first are falling, you're like, oh, I'm falling. And then you kind of settle into it. And then it's almost, it's okay. Yeah. But wow. I would say overall, now I know my limit. And I would say that, you know, the ocean can be big and powerful. And if you can avoid being in that situation, it's good. But, yeah, you'll probably be okay, even if you find yourself there. And, you know, the waves have to be pretty big to get a long hold down. You know what I'm saying? So if you're going out in, you know, smaller waves, chances of that happening are a lot less.
I only have about a minute left, Heather, and I really we all appreciate hearing just your energy. You're just fantastic. Jerry Lopez told me, if you can buy it with money, it's cheap. So look for the things in life that are priceless. Duke yes. Kahanamoku used to say, don't worry, the waves will come.
Yeah.
It taught us all about the aloha spirit. What is it that surfing teaches us in your mind?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, the first word that comes to mind is joy and gratitude and love. I think you feel softer, you feel connected, you feel like you're a part of something that's just so much bigger than you are that you get to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
It's like home, you know, it really is. It's just kind of all those good feelings together, you know? And I think surfing, you know, any type of wave riding, even just being in the ocean, I think you feel that, you know?
Do you miss Hawaii or you love living in Los Angeles?
I miss Hawaii, but, you know, it's nice. I like the culture here.
Yep.
You know, there's more culture. I love food. I love music. I love meeting, you know, so many awesome people like yourself. But, yeah, I mean, Hawaii will always be home, and I try to get home as much as possible because it's definitely there's no place like it.
Mm. You represent the spirit of aloha beautifully, and I want to thank you for joining us today. You've made the world a little bit brighter for all of us this morning, and thanks so much, and I wish you well, and as much as I can do to send people your way from the Weekend Warrior Show, I will. Thanks so much, Heather, for joining us.
Thank you, my friend. Take care. Have
okay.
a great
day. All right. God bless. Ahui ho. That's the great Heather Alley. If you need a surf lesson here in Los Angeles, she's the one to call. Coming up next, I got to tell you what clachos are. The Dr. Clapper version of nachos to make at home since we're all trapped in our houses now. What a dish this is. Clachos. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on 710 ESPN.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
I love this guy.
Start your weekend off right, listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
Robbie, come with me. We're going to fix the toilet.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Check this out. Weekend Warrior is on the air.
From the epicenter of sports in the Southland.
ESPN L.A. 710. With Dr. Robert Clapper, board-certified orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai Health Associates.
Paradise, put up a parking lot.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. We're playing Joni Mitchell songs. Good job, Rebecca. Because she's from Canada. And in all the songs she wrote and all the songs she sang, you can feel it. It's in her soul. You could feel Italy when you watched Kobe Bryant. His court vision was like none other's. You know why? Because he grew up playing soccer. You grew up playing soccer like Steve Nash and Ginobili and Tony Parker. You have vision from the soccer field that you bring to basketball. This is the beauty of being a Renaissance man or woman. I love surgery. I love art. I love sports. I love cooking. You bring it all together, and you get to take nachos and put your own spin on it. And they're called Clapper Nachos or Clachos. So this is how you do it. You all have a toaster oven, take a strip of aluminum foil, and go to the cupboard and all those stale chips, lay them out on the aluminum foil. Let them touch each other. Crowd the aluminum foil for the toaster oven. Then slice some Monterey Jack cheese with the jalapeno. Put it in the toaster oven and let that cheese melt. What is it basically doing? It's gluing all of those separate chips together. I know what chili killies are. I get that. Here's the problem with chili killies. It's like matzo brie. It's like French toast. It softens the bread. It softens the chips. I don't want soft chips. I want crispy chips. So this was my challenge. I can make chili killies. I don't want to. I want crispy chips with my melted cheese. That's why I love nachos. So I essentially have glued all the separate chips together by melting them in the toaster oven. Ding, the bell is rung. They're ready. You take it out of the toaster oven. Now on a frying pan, a lot of butter. My mouth is watering already. And I cracked two eggs, and I cooked them up good. But they're sunny side eggs. I didn't crack the yolk. I let them stay sunny side up. I now took that aluminum foil with my melted cheese and my nachos, and because it's in the aluminum foil, I can flip it onto the plate upside down so that now the melted cheese is on the bottom of the plate and the crispy chips are now looking straight up at me, right? Now I take those two sunny side up eggs where the yolk is still there and I put it right on top of the chips. But because the aluminum foil is still there, I can use it to help roll this cheesy, chippy, crispy concoction and make a burrito essentially out of the eggs that are inside the crispy chips with the melted cheese on the outside. And then I took La Victoria Supremo. My mouth is watering. And I poured the jar, pretty much, of red salsa on top of that crispy chips, melted cheese, egg yolks in the center on my plate. And I took that fork and I busted into that crispy, cheesy egg yolk, started to drain out of it with the salsa on top, and put that fork in my mouth. And then I knew Clachos were born. Clapper Nachos. You could do this at home today. Trust me, it's going to be rainy, miserable. It's the most delicious thing you'll eat for lunch today. And tell everybody, Dr. Clapper taught me how to make this. All right, let's talk to the great Steve Cohn from Village Pizza. He's doing something good with his day today, with his life today, as always. And we need to talk to my favorite pizza place here in Los Angeles at Village Pizza. Steve, you're on with Dr. Clapper. Thanks for calling.
What's up, wild man? How you doing?
Did you hear what clachos are?
Clachos. You know, me and you got to talk. You got too much time on your hands.
Don't give me free time. As my wife and daughter say, oh, my God, they gave him a microphone.
we have so much in common, but, I'm prideful of where I come from.
That's right. You can tell it in your accent. You're from Brooklyn.
Give me the water. Let's walk the dog.
Here, listen to Joni Mitchell telling you she's from Canada.
On the back of a cartoon coaster, in the blue TV screen light, I drew a map of Canada. Oh, Canada.
The problem with Joni Mitchell songs is you try to sing along and then you realize, excuse me, you're not Joni Mitchell.
Well, listen, it's, you know, we have, not only am I trying to be in the front line at the restaurant, but we also have some time. We cut back hours. So I've been catching up on some music documentaries, and I caught some real good ones, you know, about Echo in the Canyon. Mm. And then there was a great interview with Crosby, Stills, and Nash going back to the old days before the Birds. Mm. And you know, the Hollies and where Neil Young and the Buffalo Springfield.
Yeah.
And then I saw a really great one, Bobby Keys.
Wow.
Every Night to Saturday Night. And, you know, Joni Mitchell comes up in a lot of conversations back in the early days.
Carole King, Joni Mitchell, these are the greatest singer-songwriters. They both happen to be women, but nobody ever has to mention that. They're just flat out the best singer-songwriters of the 20th century, period.
Well, she was still at David Crosby, very, very close with her in the early days.
Yeah, listen to David Crosby talking about how intimidated he was, but then he says, I wasn't intimidated. Yeah. I was inspired.
You know, I mean, you can't help but be thrilled by the music, but the truth is, I think I was inspired by it more than discouraged by it. I wasn't really discouraged by it. It's just a joke. Sure. I was inspired by it, I think, very
Listen
strongly.
To what he says. He's working all week, all 2 weeks, all month on a song. He says, Joni, listen to this. She goes, yeah, that's really nice, David. Listen to the three that I wrote this morning.
Well, you work all week on a song, and, you know, you'd say, hey, honey, listen to this. Guinevere had green eyes, you know, and she'd come and say, that's really nice, David. Here, I did these ones this morning. And she'd sing three, and they'd be fantastic. And you'd go,
David Crosby. I love it. So what are you doing at the restaurant? Let's all hear. I only have a minute left.
Well, yeah, we, you know, we're taking calls at 11. We're doing takeout and delivery starting at 12. We're trying to get calls in earlier. And the last call at 8, mm-hmm. and then we're closing down around 8:30. We have a very, edited staff. We're trying to give jobs to whoever wants, and we're giving everybody the option if they don't want to come. And we're giving it our best shot. You know, people are supporting us. It's great. And it's a pretty weird time, I got to tell you. And you see the resilience of some. You see others who are crazy who don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Going to the grocery stores, you got to take your hats off to the grocery people at the grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crazy time. We're going to do our best for as long as we can, and we sanitize, we clean, we got gloves, we're all prepared, and we hope that we can give you comfort food and provide as long as we can.
The Great Village Pizza, Steve Cohn. Remember what Abraham Clapper, my dad, once said, Stephen, and you can tell all your employees, this too shall pass. It's a tough time.
Well,
it's bringing us all together, but be safe, be well. Everybody knows to wash their hands.
I just wanted to let you know we're trying to put together for your emergency room over at Sears.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to put together a lunch next week with a volunteer group, nonprofit called Big Sunday. The incredible efforts through the year to provide for the needy in corporate and personal. And unfortunately, I just found out that I have to wrap everything separately. They won't take pizza. So I have to wrap 85 sandwiches and 85 individual salads, which is going to be a huge, huge deal with a limited staff. So just know we're thinking of them. We're giving it our best shot. And, you know, we could use support out there to come on in, buy some gift certificates for your local restaurants, for your family and friends, for future dates. And the support around is very appreciated, believe me.
We appreciate you, the great Steve Cohn from Village Pizza. Thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Okay, babe. Take care.
Okay. All right. God bless.
You and your family.
Okay. You too, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right. The great Steve Cohn from Village Pizza, the best pizza in Los Angeles. And that comes from Dr. Clapper, a guy from Far Rockaway, proud of where he's from. Let's pay some bills. We'll come back. The lines are all lit up. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors Show every Saturday morning. Today with the great Rebecca Womble.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
When I see the food, I eat it. Bada boom.
Start your weekend off right. Listening to the Weekend Warriors Show with Dr. Clapper.
I'm on a light diet. I only eat when it's light out. Bada boom.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN. 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Check this out. Weekend Warrior is on the air.
From the epicenter of sports in the Southland.
ESPN LA 710. With Dr. Robert Clapper, board-certified orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai Health Associates.
In the air, and feather cannons everywhere. Looked at clouds.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Both sides now. Here's the version that I love from when she was young. How do you write this song? How do you do something like this?
Rose and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air.
ice cream castles in the air. Yep, I can handle that. God, some Ciao Bella gelato. Ciao Bello chocolate sorbet. Go back onto the podcast and you can listen to me talking to the people from Ciao Bello. That'll be a good thing. It's in your freezer right now. Having some ice cream castles. Not in the air. In your mouth. That's what you want, the ice cream castles. All right, let's take a quick call. Let's go to Richard in Long Beach. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help? Sorry to make you wait so long.
No problem, doctor. Love you. God bless you, doctor. And it's happened before. My lower back on the right side got some pretty sharp pain.
Does it radiate into the buttock, the thigh, the calf, the toes, or does it stay in your lower back?
It stays in the lower back.
How young are you, Richard?
I'm 66.
66. Wow. What do you do for a living?
I work on the power lines. I'm a groundsman.
Wow. You're like the Glenn Campbell song, the Jimmy Webb song. You're a lineman for the county.
That's right.
Oh, wow. You ever listen in on anyone's conversation?
All the time. You are the best. You are the man, by the way.
Thank you.
God bless you, doctor.
All right, Richard. Well, I will tell you this. If you were working on a pal, you ready for some clapper vision? You know what that is?
Gotcha. Go ahead.
What if they said, you know what? We need you to get in your car today, Richard, and we need you to drive to Hemet. I don't even know where that is, but to drive. Okay. I'm sure you get there on the 10 freeway, but I have no idea what that is. We need you to go way out to Hemet, and there's a power line there that's been up there for 66 years. What do you think that power line is going to look like? The insulation's going to be dried and cracked, and the copper wire's going to be showing. It's going to be a mess, right? It's like you, right, Richard, looking at the back of your hand right now and pinch the skin. We can wait for a half an hour for the skin to flatten because you know when you take that cord, that wire out of your truck, that it's just fresh and beautiful, and you're going to replace it. That's a young person's insulation and copper wire and line, the power line that you're going to put up. Well, guess what? As an orthopedic surgeon for 31 years, and I've looked at thousands and thousands of people like you and looked at the x-rays, the CAT scans, the MRIs of their spine, and guess what I see? I see altacocceritis. I see that Hemet 66-year-old power line that's cracked and no longer. You're going to see what's known as, this is in the medical terms, desiccation of the discs. That's what you're going to see, the dried out, the bone spurs, that this space itself, kind of like pipes in your kitchen where the rust is making the water come out less briskly as brand new copper pipes. That's in essence what you have. You have arthritis in your lower back. How do I know that? Because thankfully, Richard, your back pain is not going into your buttock, your thigh, your calf, and into your toe. So you don't have sciatica like a younger person might get. You've got stenosis. You've got arthritis. What's my favorite thing to do for a guy like you who's still working and who needs their discs and needs their back and has to fight father time? You got to strengthen your core muscles. You have to adopt pool exercises, Pilates, yoga, and take some weight off. I can guarantee I can see through the radio. You could stand to lose 10 pounds, 15 pounds, just like me. But the food tastes too damn good, so it's hard to. Particularly if you're making clachos like I've just described, nachos clapper style, or eating pizza from Village Pizza. But yes,
thank you.
Taking some weight off will make less stress for your back. How do you take weight off? There's a book I want you to read called Wheat Belly. Just read that book, W-H-E-A-T, Wheat Belly. It'll inspire you to start to take some weight off. You get in the pool, stay off the treadmill, stay away from lunges, squats, stair machines, weights. Get in the pool, walk belly button high water forwards and backwards. Taking some weight off, riding a bike, doing the pool. This is how you're going to be able to withstand that degenerative process that takes place in all of us, okay?
Okay, one second. I'm at the beach. I'm at Seal Beach right now. I was thinking about going into the and walking in the water.
No, do it in a pool. The ocean's too treacherous. Get in a pool.
Okay.
All right, young man.
Okay, thank you.
Listen, I want you to find a total stranger today. Do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me.
Thank you so much. God bless you, doctor.
I appreciate it, Richard. You too. God bless. Be safe. All right, Warriors. Coming up next, I'm going to tell some stories. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors Show here every Saturday morning on 710 ESPN.